Okay, today's daf is Shabbat, daf Gimel. We're on the bottom of Bet Amud Bet at the two dots. Amar le Rav Matna Lebaye. Ha, Timni Havyan, Tarte Sarei Havyan. 1 second. Are there 8 cases? 2 that are 4, 2 that are 4. That makes 8. There are clearly 12 cases, if I'm not mistaken, right? How do we get to 12? Well, let's look back at the Mishnah. We know the initial 4. We got to make sure that we're tracking. Everyone should know these 12 baal peh, right? We got to make sure that we have the initial 4. I want it to be crystal clear, right? The initial 4, the 2 that are 4, 2 that are 4, right? How exactly do we get the initial 4? Those are the ones that are chayav, right? That you did something wrong. You're chayav. The 4 that you're chayav for. What are those 4? You have the ani who's standing. You have 2 outside that are chayav, right? Where that's when the ani is standing outside and puts something inside, or standing outside and takes something from inside and brings it outside, right? Those are 2 cases where the ani is chayav. That's chayav from the outside. Right now we have 2. Then you have the balabayit, 2 cases where you're chayav from the inside. That's when the balabayit takes something from inside and puts it outside. Or the balabayit standing inside takes something from the outside and brings it inside. That is 4. 4 cases where you are chayav. Okay? Now, our understanding, the way we initially read the Mishnah, is that you have an additional 4 cases. Those cases are as follows. Pashat ha'ani et yado lifnim v'natal balabayit mitocho. Right? So the ani standing outside put his hand inside, but he didn't put it down. The balabayit took it out of his hand. Right? In that case, the ani is pater. Right? That is case number 5. O shenatan latocha v'hotzi. Alternatively, the ani just put an empty hand in and the balabayit put something in his hand. Right? He's also pater because he didn't lift it up. Right? He had no Akira. That's case number 6. Pashat balabayit et yado lechutz. What if the balabayit put his hand outside, v'natal ha'ani mitocho? Right? And the balabayit had something in his hand, but he didn't put it down, the ani took it out. Well, then he's potter, because the balabayit never had the hanacha. Right? That's case number 7. O shenatal ha'tocho v'hichnis. Or the balabayit reached an empty hand outside, and the ani put something in his hand. Well, now the balabayit doesn't have an akira, but the balabayit brings it back in. That is case number 8. And Rav Matna is like, how are you counting here? You said that we make a distinction between the one standing inside and the one standing outside. When the one standing inside does a half action, then it's pater. The one standing outside does a half action, then it's pater. Now, what did we teach? By the last 4 cases, we taught if the ani does this or that, shnehem pturim. If the balabayit does this or that, shnehem pturim. We wanted to count that as 4 cases, but that's 8 cases because the ani is pater in both the cases where the ani put his hand in or took it out, and so is the balabayit, right? Whereas the balabayit is pater in both cases where he put his hand in or he took it out, and so is the ani. Right? Meaning, let's not forget if there's another person in both of these cases. Again, we taught these latter 4 cases where the ani puts his hand in but doesn't put it down, or takes his hand out but didn't pick it up. The balabayit puts his hand in but doesn't put it down, or takes his hand out but never picked it up. But in the first 2 cases where the ani is the one transferring something domain but lacked either the akira or the hanacha, the balabayit did the other one. And in the 2 cases where the balabayit put his hand in or took his hand out and lacked either the akira or the hanacha, the ani did the other one. We have 8 clearly distinct cases in the latter part of the Mishnah. The fact that you wanted to teach me it through the eyes of the ani is fine. That doesn't mean that balabayit didn't do the other half of this action. The fact that you wanted to teach me the second 2 through the eyes of the balabayit, fine. That doesn't mean the ani didn't do the other half of that action. In the first 2 cases, the ani lacks first the akira and then the hanacha, right? And then the balabayit lacks the akira and then the hanacha. But when the ani in the first case lacks the akira, the balabayit did the akira. And when the ani in the first case lacks the hanacha, the balabayit does the hanacha. And when the balabayit in the second cases lacks the hanacha, the ani does the hanacha. And when the balabayit in the second cases lacks the akira, the ani does the akira. In which case, we have 8 distinct cases. Right? It just depends on whether you're looking at it from the inside or the outside. But we know that you have to look at it from both. Right, so as far as the balabayit is concerned, there are 4 cases where he would be pater here. And as far as the Ani is concerned, there will be four cases where he's pater here, right? Two for the fact that he started to do something but didn't finish, and two for the fact that he finished something that someone else started, and vice versa. We have 12 cases, ultimately. Right? But now we're going to challenge Rav Manashita. Ulta'amech, Sheitzre Havya. But wait, one second. If you want to say that every time the Mishnah taught, from one person's perspective, the Ani or the Balabait, meaning when the Ani was doing something and the Balabait finished it, or the Ani was, or the Balabait was doing something and the Ani finished it, then we have 16. How did you just skip the original four cases? Wait one second. Meaning, if we're counting whether you're chayav de'oraita de'rabbanan, which we clearly are, because the last eight cases you're only chayav de'rabbanan. That's what pater means, chayav de'rabbanan. So if we're counting both de'oraita and de'rabbanan, right? And you want to say that whenever we count, oh, this person, the ani, who's doing something from outside, is pater. Well, then you also have to count the balabait, who's also doing something. Okay, well, then why did you skip over the first four cases? The first four cases, which we taught were chayav, right? When the ani reaches his hand in, side, with something in it, and puts it in the balabait's hand, right? The ani is chayav, and the balabait is pater. So that's one for the ani, and that's one chiyuv for the ani, and one ptur for the balabait. And then we have a second chiyuv for the ani, so a second ptur for the balabait. And then we have a chiyuv for the balabait, meaning a ptur for the ani. And then we have a chiyuv for the balabait, meaning a ptur for the ani. So if you want to count the involvement that the other one had in the primary actions of the second, then why did you skip over the Mishnah? Because there are also other people involved in the Mishnah. So if you want to count 12, I'm counting 16. Amarlay, you responded to them, so if not responded, Halo Kashi. That's not difficult. I know exactly why I skipped over the original four. Bishlama Babadiresha Patar Mutar. Vilokatani Ela Baba de Seifa de Patura Valasur. Kasha. Right? So it's like this. Right? Why didn't I teach the original four from the other person's perspective? There are two terms, right? When the Torah, when we say pater, when the Gemara says pater, what that means is you're pater from a korban chata. You're only chayav a korban chata for things that are also deoraita, right? If it's also derabbanan, you're not chayav a korban. So when it says pater, you're pater mi deoraita mashma. The inference that you are supposed to make when you see the words pater is pater mi deoraita, but also mi derabbanan. Now pater mi deoraita, also mi derabbanan. Okay. So what is Rav Matna saying? You know why I didn't count the pturim of the balabait or the ani respectively in the first four cases? Because that's not pater but aser derabanan. That's pater and mutter. They didn't do anything. I'm counting the isurim here. I'm counting the isuri deoraita and the isuri derabanan. So far I have four chiyuvim, meaning four isuri deoraita, and eight pturim, meaning eight isuri derabanan for doing half of the process. But you didn't do anything in the... If you're the other side of the chiyuv, when the ani is chayav in both cases, the balabait, it's mutter altogether, right? Whereas when the balabait is chayav in the first two cases, the ani is putter altogether. You know why? Because you didn't do the akira or the hanacha. You didn't pick it up and you didn't put it down, right? When the ani reaches his hand in and puts it into your hand, you know how much you're doing? Nothing. The ani picked it up, he transferred the domain, he put it into your hand, he did everything. And same goes for the balabai, or when he took it out of your hand, and when he took it out of his hand. You did nothing. You didn't do an akira, you didn't do a hanacha. You had absolutely no involvement. So yes, they're pater, but what does pater mean there? Pater v'mutar, you literally did nothing wrong. Of course I'm not going to teach those cases. Rather, really, there are 12. The ha'amar shmua, umi ika v'kulei shabbat pater v'mutar, what's that? When we, in terms of Shabbat, when we speak about Shabbat, and we say pater, can we be really referring to patur v'mutar? V'ha'amar Shmuel, kol patur de Shabbat, patur v'alasur, v'amar ha'nitzlat. Shmuel said explicitly, whenever we're talking about Hilchot Shabbat, and we say the words pater, what does that mean? Pater aval asur, asur min derabbanan. Except for the following three cases. And we'll look at those three cases in just a second. But because our Mishnah is not one of those three cases, and our Mishnah says that in the first two cases, the Balabait is pater while the Ani is Chayev, and the second two cases, the Ani is pater while the Balabait is Chayev, This isn't one of those cases of Shmuel. So when it says Pater here, it's Pater of Al-Asr, and therefore I have 16 cases. What are those three, by the way? Hanikla, the Pater Mutar. There are three cases where it's Pater and it's Mutar L'Chachila. Tzidat Tzvi, right? Trapping a deer. It's a very unique way of trapping, basically, where a deer is in a house. Two people sit down in the entranceway to the house, or one person sits down in the entranceway to the house, right? And then a second person sits down in the entranceway to the house, right? And the first one doesn't get up. Right, we'll get inside, we'll actually see that inside in the Gemara, but essentially because you didn't actively trap the tzvi, your trapping of the deer came from the fact that you didn't get up, meaning, or it's like one person sitting and another person sits in front of him, so it was already trapped, and then the first guy gets up, and now you're still trapping him. Oh, why didn't you get up and untrap him? Because he was tzad me'alav. He was already trapped. Right, I'm continuing his trap. We'll get up because you're trapping him. So we'll see that case inside. I'm not going to explain it too much now. But that the Torah says, the Gemara says, it's pater. And what do we mean by pater? Pater v'mutter. You don't have to get up at all to continue trap. You just continue trapping the deer. V'tzirat nachash, or trapping a snake because of the danger. V'mapis morsa, and popping a zit to extract, to take out the liquid. All those things are pater and mutter. You got to do them. No, what was Shmuel talking about? When you're doing an action, you did an action, and we say it's pater, oh, but it's mutter. But now when you're not doing an action, this is a nothing. Our case, you didn't do anything. You didn't do akira, you didn't do hanacha. Shmuel said there are three cases where you're doing something, and it's pater and mutter. In our case, we don't even think you're doing anything, right? And so when the Gemara says pater, right, and you're not doing anything, there are a lot more than three cases where it could be pater and mutter. You didn't do anything. Mikol makom, tarkei shehav gan. But still, we have this problem. We have 12 and not 8. Pturei da'ati be'uli dei chiyuv chatar kachashiv de lo ati be'uli dei chiyuv chatar lo kachashiv. No, I'll explain to you how we did our cheshbon, how we got to 8 and not 12. Which 8 did we mechayev? The 8 that you are starting to do something wrong. Right? Meaning, what's the issue here? Why is it, what's the issur derabanan? When you're doing something, that if you finish the process, you violate an Isser De'oraita, then starting that is already an Isser De'rabbanan. So, when you do an Akira, knowing that if you did a Hanacha, it would be Asser De'oraita, then doing the Akira is Asser De'rabbanan. Why? Because you're that close to doing an Isser De'oraita. Right, you did the necessary steps in the beginning. You're one action away from violating Isser D'oraita, and you just don't do that action. That's Asur D'rabbanan, because you're so close to violating Isser D'oraita. You know what we're not talking about? When you didn't even do the Akira. Oh, but you did the Hanacha. Yeah, you shouldn't have done the Hanacha. But you didn't do the Akira. There was no Havelina that you were going to be Chayav. You didn't do the first thing. Like, you never were involved in something that could have been an Isser De'oraita. From the time that you involved yourself, you were already missing the necessary steps for it to be an Isser De'oraita. If you lifted it up, then you're that close to violating an Isser De'oraita. All you have to do is put it down. But what if you never lifted it up? You just had it in your hand. Could you put it down? Oh, you did half of it? Yeah, but I didn't do the first half. There was no chashash. I was never going to come to the Isser De'oraita. It wasn't there at all. Right? I'm not counting those. Right, so really, it is 8. It's 8 where you're either fully chayav, or you're chayav mi derabanan because you started the process, and because the rabbanan, we're concerned that if you start the process, maybe you're going to come to finish the process, we're going to make it usher to even start the process. Oh, but if you just put it down, you still did half, maybe you're the second half. There's no, like, you already at the time of your involvement couldn't have been violating the Isser De'oraita. Shnehen peturin. They're both pater. Ultimately, didn't the malacha get done? It was transferred. It went from one domain to the other. Something wrong happened. Something usher took place. You were both involved. How are you both pater? Really? Something bad happened. Tanya, so we learned in the Braita, Rabbi Omer, Me'am Ha'aretz Ba'asota Ha'oset Kula V'lo Aset Mikzata. If you just look at that full pasuk, Ve'im Nefesh Achat. If one nefesh, if one person will do a chet, will do a sin, bishogeg, me'am ha'aretz, or amongst the nation, be'asota, to do it. What does it mean by to do it? Achat me'mitzvot, to do it, to do one of the commandments. Right? By saying to do it, what do we mean? You have to be doing all of it. Not if one person goes ahead and does half of an Isser. No. If one person does the Isser. What is that pasuk coming to exclude? When one person does half of the Isser, or when two people do the full Isser. You need, it's almost explicit in the pasuk, right? You need one person to do all of the Isser. Here you have two people. Yachid vasata chayav. One person does it, then it's chayav. Shnayim vasota pturin. Two people did it, it's pater. It marnami similar stated. Amar chiyav bar gamda nizrukum ipichabura v'amar vasota yachid shasa chayav. Shnayim asherasu pturin. Right? So similarly, we taught that everyone kind of, there was a resounding answer amongst the Knesset. Everyone agreed that you need one person to do the entirety of the Avera. If two people are involved, they're not chayav. Right? Ba'mine Rav Merebi. So Rav asked Rebbe the following question. Hitinu chaveru ochlinu mashkin votziyo lachutz. Mahu? Akirat gufok, akirat chefetz mekomo dami, umechayev, odilma, lo. Let's say your friend is standing in the shuto yachid, right? And you say, let me just pile on some food. You got a nice backpack there, let me just pile on some food on you. All right, get going. And then he walks into the shuto Rav. Is that similar to when the hand is reached out into the shuto yachid and you put something in the hand? In which case, you know, maybe he's pater. The second guy's pater, right? Is that a similar case? Do we treat the fact that the hand is in the Rishut Yachid, and then the Ani who's standing in the Rishut Rabim then pulls his hand back into the Rishut Rabim, right? Is that similar to the case where the guy, you know, is standing with his back in the Rishut Yachid? You pile things onto his back, right? So you didn't do anything wrong. You did a hanacha onto the Rishut Yachid. And then the Ani walks out, but he didn't do the Akira. It kind of sounds like when you put something in the Ani's hand, he didn't do the Akira, but you never did a Hanacha. Is that the same case? Or maybe it's not the same case. Amarle Chayev. No. Yeah, the guy who leaves is Chayev. Clearly Chayev. Ve'inu dom eliyado. And you can't say that's similar to the case where the hand is outstretched, is reaching the Jutiyachi. My tama gufa naich, yado lo naich. The hand is in the air. Not resting. Because it's not resting, there's no Akira. Because it's already in midair. Right? But if someone's standing, he's standing on the ground. That constitutes Naich. It's on the ground. And so when he picks up his feet to start walking, you know what that's called? That's called an Akira. With by the hand, the floating hand in midair, that never had an Akira. You put it in while it was in the air. But if you're standing on the ground, then when you lift your legs up, that's the Akira. So the guy who does that has an Akira, and when he puts his leg down, he has an Hanacha. Amar Rav Chiya l'Rav Bar Pachti lo aminu loch ki kai Rav b'ha mesechta lo tashilu mesechta achriti. Big muster for everyone in Night Seder. Ready? Bar Pachti, son of noble men, did I not teach you that when Rebbe is involved in one mesechta, you don't ask him questions in a different mesechta? What are you thinking? Right, you can't ask him questions in a mesechta he's not holding in. Big muser. Dilma lavadate. Right, maybe he's not holding in that mesechta. The ilav the Rebbe Gavra Rabahu. Right, had it not been that Rebbe was such a great person, kasafte the mishani loch shenuye the lav shenuyu. He may have been embarrassed. He taught you the wrong din. He would have told you the wrong answer because he's not holding the Masechta. Now you asked Rebbe, and Rebbe happens to be a Gavra Rabbah, and he's simultaneously holding it everything, right? So you're fine. But normally you cannot ask a rabbi a question. The Gemara, he's not holding it, right? First of all, you're going to embarrass him for not knowing, and why should he know he's in a different Masechta? And second of all, you may get a wrong answer out of him. Hashtamiyat Shapir Mishani Lach, Netanya, Hayataon Ochlin, Umashkin, Wood Yom, Vehotzion, Lachut Mishachashecha, Chayav, Fisha Eno Dome, Liado. However, it happens to be, yeah, Rebbe is a Gavra Rabbah, and he answered you exactly right. Right? Because we already learned that what if you load yourself with food or whatever it is that you're carrying, Mibod Yom, when it's still daytime, and then you leave. Oh, but your Akira, when you lifted it up, it was daytime. That's not Usher. It's not Shabbos, right? So that's not Usher. And then you start walking, and you're like, oh, well, I didn't have an Akira because it was still Friday afternoon, right? And now my Hanacha is in the middle of Shabbat. I never had any issue. No, that's Usher. Your walking is a Hanacha and an Akira. Okay. Amar Abaye, Pshitali, Yado Shel Adam, Ein Lo Kereshut Rabim, Velo Kereshut Yachid. It's clear to me that a person's hand is not like Rishut HaRabim, not like Rishut HaYachid. Meaning, if you're standing in Rishut HaRabim and you reach your hand out, your hand is not considered the Rishut HaRabim that you're standing in. and you're standing in the Rishut HaYachid, and you reach your hand out, your hand is not considered the Rishut HaYachid like you're standing in.
How do I know that? Rishut HaRabim lo dami amiyado da'ani.
I know that it's not the Rishut HaRabim from the hand of the Ani. Because what happens when the Ani is standing in the Rishut HaRabim, in the public domain, and he reaches his hand inside, and the Balabite puts something into his hand, at that point, has the Balabite violated anything? No. He hasn't. Oh, but why? If the Ani is in the Rishut HaRabim and his hand constitutes the Rishut HaRabim, because he's standing in the Rishut HaRabim, then the Balabai just had Akira the Rishut HaYachid and Hanach the Rishut HaRabim. Must be that the Ani's hand is not a Rishut HaRabim, even though the Ani himself is standing in the Rishut HaRabim. Rishut HaYachid lo damia, but and I know that the hand doesn't constitute a private domain, miyado the Balabai, because of the case of the miyado the Balabai. Because when the Balabai is standing inside and reaches his hand out and the Ani puts something in his hand, did the Ani violate anything? Well, if you want to say that his hand is like the Rishut HaYachid that he's standing in, then the Ani just had a Akira Rishut HaRabim, Hanach, and the Rishut HaYachid. But it's not. So I know the hand is not considered like the Rishut HaRabim when you're standing in the Rishut HaRabim. It's not considered the Rishut HaYachid when you're standing in the Rishut HaRabim. Baya, but then Baya asks as follows. Yadol shel adam maush tazeh ke'amrli. Mikansu ha-Rabbanan la'adur le'gabe ulo. Is it possible that the Rabbanan made someone's hand into a Carmelite? Such that... There is a rabbinic prohibition about bringing it into a Rishut HaRabim or a Rishut HaYachid. Now we got to explain a couple things. What's a Carmelite? Okay, so we mentioned two domains. There are two domains. Mi de'oraita. Rishut HaRabim, Rishut HaYachid, private domain, public domain. Then there are things that are not this and not that. Things that do not constitute a public domain. Things that do not constitute a private domain. We'll get more into that. However, you just have to know they're not this and they're not that. That's called a makom ptor. And if it's a makom ptor, it's not a rishut HaRabim, you can bring something from a makom ptor into a makom ptor as an exempt place. You can bring something from an exempt place into a private domain. You can bring something from an exempt place into a public domain. However, there are certain exempt places that the rabbis made usher to transfer from one to the other. That is a Carmelite. So, you cannot bring something from a Carmelite to a private domain, or from a Carmelite into a public domain, on a derabbanan level. It is usur. And so Abai is asking, okay, let's say you reached your hand out from your Rishut HaYachid into the Rishut HaRabim. Right? Did we turn your hand? I know your hand is not a Rishut HaRabim, and I know your hand is not a Rishut HaYachid, but is it a Carmelite? What's the nafka mean if it's a Carmelite? Well, if your hand is a Carmelite, you know where you can't reach it? Well, if you're standing in the Rishut HaYachid and your hand's a Carmelite, you can't bring it back into the Rishut HaYachid. And if you're standing in the Rishut HaRabim and your hand's a Carmelite, well, you can't bring something from a Carmelite into the Rishut HaYachid, into the Rishut HaRabim. In which case, if the Rabbanan say your hand is a Carmelite and therefore you can't bring it into a public domain or a private domain, then they're giving you quite the knas. Because that would mean if you ever reach your hand out from a private domain to a public domain or from a public domain to a private domain on Shabbat, you know what you have to do with your hand? Leave it there for all of Shabbat. You shouldn't have put it there in the first place. And now it's in a Carmelite, Yashar Koach. And from a Carmelite, you can't bring it into a public domain, you can't bring it into a private domain. That's a big knas. Rather, the Rabbanan didn't want you to reach your hand out at all. So you didn't. If you reach your hand out, it's a knas. Rabbanan said, yeah, you can't bring it back. Your hand's now a Carmelite. So now you're bringing the fruit in your hand from a Carmelite to Rishut HaRabim, from a Carmelite to the Yachid. Did they make that knas or no? Tashma, I'll come and hear a proof. If your hand is full of fruit, and you stuck it outside to a public domain, Tani Chada, one brayta taught me, Asur lachzira, you're not allowed to bring it back. Tani Idach, Mutar lachzira, but a different brayta taught me, you're allowed to bring it back. My love, Bakamifligi. Could we not suggest that the following matter is their point of dispute? Demasavar ki Carmelite damya. The first brayta said, yeah, the hand's like a Carmelite, in which case, you're not allowed to bring it back. Umasavar lach Carmelite damya. And the other says, no, your hand's not like a Carmelite, you're allowed to bring it back. Meaning one says you're allowed to pull it back, one says you're not allowed to put it back. It could be that their argument is over whether the hand is a Carmelite. If the hand's a Carmelite, then no, you can't bring it from the Carmelite back into the Rishut HaYachid. If your hand's not a Carmelite, then you're allowed to. Lo tekulam Carmelite damya. No, you don't have to say that. You don't have to say that's the machloket about whether the hand's a Carmelite or not. Could be that everyone agrees the hand is like a Carmelite. Okay, everyone agrees the hand is like a Carmelite. Then what's the machloket under? Lo kasha kan lamata masara kan lamala masara. Oh, another din you have to know about tchumin, right? Regarding different domains. The domain only exists up until 10 tvachim. Right? So if something is floating 10 tvachim in the air, right? Or is held in your hand over an airspace that is higher than 10 tvachim, that's not in the domain anymore. That is an exempt place. A makom ptor is anything above
10 tefachim off the ground.
The domains that we talk about, the public domain and the private domain that we speak about, that we'll always be speaking about, means within 10 tefachim, above 10 tefachim, it's no longer a public domain or a private domain. It's a nothing. It's a makom ptor. In which case, why is it that if everyone holds that the hand is a carmelite, so in theory, you should not be able to bring it back inside to a private or public domain? Here, do we have a machloket as to whether or not you're bringing it back? Because the question is whether or not it's above 10 tefachim or below 10 tefachim. If it's below 10 tefachim, then no, you're not allowed to bring it back because your hand's garmelite and you're trying to bring it back into the Rosh Yachid. But if it's above 10 tefachim, then you're in a makom ptor and you're fine. You're allowed to bring it back in. V'bayit Eima, alternatively, you can say like this. Idi v'idi l'matam asara. They're both talking about underneath asara. In which case, it would seem to be asur. V'lav ki karmelit damya. Oh, but they don't believe. I mean, it could be that neither of them believe that it's a karmelit. I mean, in the first case, we said, yeah, they both hold it's a karmelit. But one's over and one's below. Here, neither of them believe that it's a karmelit. Everyone, their hands mutter, it's not a karmelit. And v'lo kashe, still, it's not difficult to come to God yom, kam mishecha sheikha. Okay, so if it's underneath 10, it should be asur, right? Oh, but anyway, it's not a carmelite. Okay, well, it's not a carmelite, then it should be mutter. Then why is there a discrepancy? Why is it that one says asur and one says mutter? Oh, because one case was talking about when did you stick your hand into that area? In the daytime. In the daytime, did you do anything wrong? No. So you're fine. Okay, so the Rabbanan didn't make a knas on you to not bring your hand back because you didn't do anything wrong. You put it there in the daytime. Now it's Shabbat, but you didn't do anything wrong. And so the Rabbanan's like, fine, bring it back. You reached it in on Shabbat? That's a problem. Well, if you reached it on Shabbat, you're halfway to violating Mr. Deoraita. So the Rabbanan word goes there in that case that you're not allowed to bring it back. So if you reached it while it was still daytime, the Rabbanan didn't make a knas for you because you didn't do anything wrong. But if you reached your hand out once it was already Shabbat, the Rabbanan made a knas because you're halfway to Nisur De'oraita, so they're punishing you. Whoa. The opposite is logical here. When does it make sense to tell me that there's an iser de rabbanon to bring your hand back in a case where you stuck it out during the daytime? Why? Because if you stuck it out during the daytime, so you had no akira on Shabbat, and then you put it down on Shabbat, that's not aser deoraita. Why? Because for it to be aser deoraita, you needed to lift it up and put it down. When did you lift it up? On Friday. Well, I don't care about that. So you put it down on Shabbat, you didn't violate an iser deoraita. In which case, you still did something irresponsible by leaving it there. And so the Rabbanan's like, you know what? You can't bring your hand back, right? But what would happen if the Rabbanan were to make a knas when you reach your hand out on Shabbat proper? Then you're just holding your hand there for all of Shabbat. And what happens if your arm gets tired and you're like, you know what? I just want to put this down. Asa deoraita. Why would the Rabbanan make a knas that's going to cause you to violate an Asa deoraita? If you're not going to violate an Isur De'oraita because you put your hand there before Shabbat, so even if you put it down, you didn't violate an Isur De'oraita. So the Rabbanan's like, you know what? You behaved irresponsibly. Knas, can't bring it back. But in the case where you put it there on Shabbat, and if you put it down, it's an Isur De'oraita. Why would they make a knas? The Rabbanan, the knas that they just made is going to make you violate an Isur De'oraita. So likantzur rabbanon mishecha sheicha the ishadi le ati ba'o lidei chiyuv chadat locally likantzur rabbanon. So in a case where you put it once it's already Shabbat, and if the rabbanon made a knas, you'd be chayav a korban chadat, then they wouldn't make a knas there. Umidiloka mishanina nhachi tifshot the Rav Bibi Barabaye. Oh, okay. Interestingly, Rav Bibi Barabaye has a bomb kasha. He's got a crazy question, but seemingly we have a pashut answer for it. The Bai Rav Bibi Barabaye, Rav Bibi Barabaye asks as follows. Hidbik pot betanur. If you stuck a dough onto the oven, that's how they would bake bread, right? Hitiru lo lidota korim shiavo lechi chiyuv katat chatat or lo hitira, right? Did they allow you to take it off before you come to violate chiyuv chatat, or did they not let you take it off? What does that mean? When you're not allowed to put dough in an oven on Shabbat, but what's the iser? Cooking. If you put it there for 1 second, did you cook? No. So you're not chayav a chatat for violating Isur De'oraita because it didn't cook yet. So what if you put it there? Can you take it off? Well, it's Asur De'rabbanan to take it off. But if you leave it there, you're going to violate an Isur De'oraita. You put the dough there. Also, the rabbanan to take it out. Okay, but if I let it stay there, I'm going to violate nizu deoraita of cooking. So did the rabbis allow you to take it out, violate an isur deoraita of taking the food out of the oven here in order to save yourself from coming to the isur deoraita of baking? Rabbi Yevarai does not know the answer to that question. And yet, what did we just say here? Seemingly, the Rabbanon will make an Isser deRabbanon that may cause you to violate an Isser deRaita. Like when they said it was Asser deRabbanon to bring your hand back, even if when you put it down, you're going to violate an Isser deRabbanon. Right? Tifsho, lohitiru. Tifshu, delohitiru. Then it's going to be part. Donahitiru, lohitiru, lohitiru. Tifsho, delohitiru. Right? So we can just say, they did not allow you to do so. They didn't allow you to take it down to save yourself from Isur deRaita. How do I know they didn't allow you? Because in our case also, they don't seem to be worried about making an Isur deRabbanan that may cause you to violate an Isur deRaita. Halokasha, v'tifsho. Meaning, that's not a meaning. Well, you want to say, like, how could it be that we're so confident here? Rabbi Barabaye was Mesupak. He didn't know the answer to this question. That's not difficult. Okay, so Rabbi Barabaye didn't know the answer, and we do. It's a problem. V'bayit Ema, alternatively, you could say as follows. Le'olam lo tifshot. Right, really? No. Actually, this case does not resolve Rabbi Barabaye's question at all. How so? Lo kasha kan b'shogit kan b'mezi. Okay. The gzera that the Rabbanan made was not different based on whether you did it from on Friday into Shabbat or on Shabbat proper. That's not the distinction they made. Rather, what is the distinction that they made? When you did it b'shogeg, you're allowed to pull your hand back. When you did it b'mezid, you're not allowed to pull your hand back. So there is no unilateral din, right? That the Rabbanan said, you may not spare yourself from violating an isur deoraita in order to... You may not violate Mitzvah deRabbanan in order to spare yourself from Mitzvah deOraita. Beforehand, we said it seems clear that the Rabbanan believe that that's exactly what you should do, right? Maintain Mitzvah deRabbanan even if it means violating Mitzvah deOraita. Here, though, no, we're mechalik between shogeg and mezid. But you still have to ask, and the Gemara doesn't address this. How does that actually solve a problem? Okay, granted. Meaning, why can't I now answer? Okay, then how am I going to answer Rabbi Barabai's case? Did you put the dough there? B'shogeg? Yes? Great, you can bring it down. Did you put the dough there b'mezid? Yes? Then you can't bring it down. I still have an answer to Rabbi Barabai's question, right? If I'm just mechalik between shogeg and mezid, what am I going to say? Yeah, Rabbi Barabai, I got your answer. Shogeg, mezid. Shogeg, take it down. Mezid, don't take it down. No. Because now that we see the Rabbanan didn't make a unilateral deen, establishing this as either mutter or usser, I can then delve a little bit deeper into the differences between the two cases. What are the differences between the two cases? That if you reach your hand out, are you going to violate Mitzvah deOraita? I don't know, maybe not. Don't drop it, right? Just keep it there. If you don't bring the dough down, are you going to violate Mitzvah deOraita? Yes. Vadai, yes. It's going to cook, right? So I would say, when is it that the Rabbanon made the gzera on Mezid, as opposed to shogeg, in a case where it's a suffix, maybe you're going to violate it, maybe you're not going to violate it. Then they were comfortable. But in the case where you're vadai, like radia tapat, taking the bread down, you're vadai going to violate this with their raita. So there they always said that you should take it down. Right? That's what I would have answered. Look at the rabbanon, amazing, can sue a rabbanon. V by name, alternatively, you can answer like this, idi b'idi b'shogeg. Rather, both xeras were made in the case of b'shogeg, you did it accidentally. V'alcha b'gansu b'shogeg atu mezid, k'vi flegei marasav b'gansu b'shogeg atu mezid, marasav v'lo gansu b'shogeg atu mezid. However, they have a machloket as to whether or not, great, you did it both of them, b'shogeg. However, there's a machloket. Do the rabbanon say, even though you did it b'shogeg, you should have been more careful. So we're going to make a knas on you, shogeg, atu mezid. Or we say, no. If you did a b'shogeg, the rabbanon are lenient, so they don't say, we're going to make a gzera on you when you did it by accident, so that you're more careful next time, because we're concerned that if you get accustomed to doing it by accident, then you may even come to do it intentionally. The question is whether they make that gzera. Rabbi Tame, alternatively, you could say like this. Look at Suva, look at Asha. Or you could say, no, they didn't make that knas at all. Still not difficulty. Kan la'ota chater, kan la'chater acheret. When do they allow you to bring your hand back? When it's the same yard that you reached it out from, right? When do they not let you bring your hand back into a different yard? A different yard altogether, because then you're actually transporting things from one yard to the other. Kedabah mine Rav Amir Rav Nachman, like Rav Asher Rav Nachman, I thought Yadom Alev Perot, if his hand was filled with fruit, Hotza Lachutz Ma'olach Zira, he reached it out into a different field, into a public domain, is he allowed to bring it back? Lo Tachatzer, to the same yard. Amar Lai Mutter, he says Mutter, Lachatzer Acheret, well, he's allowed to bring it back to a different yard. Mahu, what's the din? Amar Lai Aser, it's Aser. Maishna, well, what's the difference between whether you put it in your yard or a different yard? Ultimately, you're still bringing your hand back. Lechiticho lai kura de milcha. Right? Just go measure out a measurement of salt, and I'll answer the question. It's like a common expression, or not so common expression, but common for the Gemara. Why is it that here the Rabbanan allowed you to pull it back? Because you didn't accomplish what you set out to do. Why did you reach your hand out? To switch it from this chatzer to the next chatzer, right? So, if you're not accomplishing that, because you're just bringing it back to the same chatzer, the Rabbanan says, we're going to let you do that. But if you're switching it from this chatzer to that chatzer, right, then the Rabbanan's like, no, you're not allowed to do that, because that's what you wanted to do in the first place, and we're not going to let you accomplish that goal. However, you're just bringing it back, that wasn't your machshava, so we're going to say, that's fine, I'll stop here.